Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. In 2008, we launched the Greener Cow Project, the first program in North America to decrease greenhouse gases caused by cows' burps. If all U.S. dairies did this, it would be like taking 500,000 cars off the road each year. Find out more at stonyfield.com.
There's magic in molds, yeasts, and bacteria. Under the right circumstances, these microorganisms can transform simple sugars into a vast buffet of foods. By some estimates, as much as a third of what we eat comes from this process we call fermentation. Today, we raise a glass and celebrate the process with Sandor Katz. He's author of a new book about fermentation, and he spoke with Living on Earth's Steve Curwood.
Your book is called The Art of Fermentation. So what about fermentation is an art?
Well, human beings have been refining the practices of fermentation over millennia, really. I mean, all these cheeses and cured meats and breads. But what I really like to emphasize is the simplicity of these processes at their base. I'm really trying to empower people that they can reclaim these skills in their own kitchen.
And humans didn't invent this process. I mean, we just learn how to hone it and make it useful, right?
Yeah, fermentation is the transformative action of microorganisms. It's a, natural phenomenon. Berries spontaneously begin to ferment. Milk spontaneously begins to ferment. There's this inevitability to the process. Human beings in varied environments basically learned how to work with this process, how to subtly manipulate environmental conditions to encourage the growth of, certain types of organisms deemed to make desirable changes to foods and beverages rather than other types of organisms, which can result in foods that, we might reject as rotten or spoiled and throw into the compost.
What were some of the first fermented foods that humans used?
Well, it is generally accepted that alcoholic beverages are the most ancient forms of intentional fermentation. And, my perspective really is that our primate ancestors were well familiar with the natural phenomenon of fermentation and were attracted by the smell of fermenting berries, for instance, and probably were familiar with the feelings that can come along with eating a lot of fermented berries. And lots of other animals have been, documented in their pursuit of fallen fermented fruit. There's some really hilarious documentation of elephants in the jungle of Malaysia eating fallen durian fruits and then becoming disoriented. I think what's uniquely human, what's a cultural accomplishment, is figuring out how to make this natural phenomenon occur on our terms.
Let's talk a little bit, though, about the dangers. When I think of bacteria and fungi in food, I think of not nice things like botulism.
Well, you are not alone. The fear that I continually encounter is the fear of, what if I get the wrong bacteria growing? How am I going to know if I have good bacteria growing in my sauerkraut or if I have bad bacteria growing? We've all been, indoctrinated to fear bacteria. I don't want to deny that there are bacteria that can make people sick, but really the process of fermentation, especially as applied to raw plant material, is intrinsically safe. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, there never has been a single case of food poisoning reported from fermented vegetables in the United States. And there really are not many foods that you could say that about. You certainly couldn't say that about raw vegetables. But even if a vegetable had been, incidentally contaminated, once it gets submerged under brine, then the lactic acid bacteria every single time become dominant in that system. And as they acidify the environment, they destroy any other types of, incidental pathogens. It turns out that acidification is a brilliant strategy not only for food preservation, but also for food safety.
And sometimes it's even more delicious, huh?
And many times it's more delicious. In fact, if you start thinking about the foods that we describe as gourmet foods, almost all of them are the products of fermentation. Olives are fermented, cheeses are fermented, breads are fermented, cured meats are fermented. So fermentation also creates, lots of really strong and delicious flavors.
Okay, let's sample some fermented products. And you sent over to us some radish kraut. Tell me a bit about it while I pry open this jar.
That jar that I sent you came out of a 55-gallon wooden barrel filled with radishes. It takes 440 pounds of shredded radishes to fill that barrel.
Okay, wait a second. It says November 2011. I mean, this is like 6 months ago. Am I going to be good to go here?
You are going to be so good to go.
Okay, let me open this. Well, it takes a little muscle. Oh, there we go. All right, got it speared with the fork and... Well, it's very sauerkrauty, and it tastes much better than your average radish. There's no question about that. How hard is it to make this stuff?
Incredibly simple. And I really recommend take any kind of a vegetable. It doesn't have to be a radish. It could be a cabbage. It could be a turnip. It could be carrot. Shred them up, which creates surface area. Lightly salt them to taste. Spend a couple of minutes squeezing that with your hands until the juice of the vegetables is beginning to drip out of it. And then just stuff that in a jar and press really hard so the vegetables get submerged under their own juices. You don't have to wait for 6 months. They have the potential to last for more than 6 months if they're in a cool spot, but really you can start to taste them after a couple of days. And what I recommend, because the tastes change as time progresses, just taste them at frequent intervals. And once it gets to be sour enough for you, strong enough for you, move it into the fermentation slowing device that you have in your kitchen, which is called a refrigerator, and then you can just eat it as you like it.
So let's continue our little taste odyssey here. And I have with me some yogurt. And it has this little emblem on the side that lists all these different microorganisms, S. thermophilus, acidophilus, and a couple of more. And let's take a taste here. Have to confess that it's my usual breakfast. It tastes really good.
You and, you know, most people listening to this eat fermented foods every day. I mean, they just are embraced by the culture. Everybody loves fermented foods.
And this is supposed to be really healthy for me.
Sure. I mean, yogurt, sauerkraut, and other foods that contain live lactic acid bacteria essentially, you know, help to replenish and diversify the bacteria in our digestive systems. And that enables us to digest food better, to assimilate more nutrients from the food that we eat. And it also has benefits in terms of our immunity, protecting us from other kinds of bacteria which could be dangerous.
Sandor, what are some of the most surprising foods that are fermented?
Well, people are always surprised when I tell them that coffee and chocolate are fermented.
What?
The reason why we're mostly unaware of it is that it's happening on the harvesting end. With chocolate in particular, the freshly harvested pods, before the cacao seeds are removed, are moistened and allowed to spontaneously ferment. And the fermentation actually dissolves the fibers that hold the seed in place in the pod and makes it easier to remove the seeds. But it also initiates some, biochemical changes. I mean, it is considered, essential for the flavor development.
Your book is filled with recipes and, at the very end, what you call a cultural revivalist manifesto. I'm wondering if you could read a section of that to us, please.
Sure. Historically, by necessity, we related to the plants and animals we ate. We knew them, relied upon them, and through their pursuit and cultivation, we were intimately connected to our environment. We need to become reconnected to the sources of our sustenance. Respect, honor, and appreciate the life that goes into our food. We have co-evolved with these other beings, and our fates are intertwined.
How can fermentation help us to reclaim our food from the industrialized food system?
Well, fermentation offers a very accessible opportunity for people to become more connected to these invisible life forces that are all around us and inside of us. There are many ways for people to get more connected to the sources of their foods, including having a garden, but especially for people who may feel that that's not a possibility for them. Fermentation is a way that anybody can be cultivating other forms of life for their food. It's really very intimate. So, I think that that is the main way.
Okay, now it's time for us to have our final taste test. And I've saved the best for last. We have here a tall bottle of beer that our producer, Jessica Elise Kern, has made at her home. Oh, we thought we'd give it a try.
Oh, I heard a little release of pressure there.
I smell a strong malt, a very sweet malt aroma. Let me see what it tastes like. Boy, this is really good. I'm sorry that we're meeting electronically here. You're in a studio in Nashville, and I'm here in Somerville, Massachusetts. But if you could see me, you'd see that I'm raising a glass in a toast to you and your book.
Well, thank you so much, Steve.
Sandor Katz is the author of the new book, The Art of Fermentation, an in-depth exploration of essential concepts and processes from around the world. And I'm Steve Kerwin.
On the next Living on Earth, on the hunt for a culinary delight, a 97-year-old forager finds a field of dandelions.
Look at this. This is like a bed of them. And if you tell me they're all red, I'll probably faint.
Don't eat the red ones. Grammy goes a-gathering next time on Living on Earth.